Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. And would you please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon? And there's an insert in your bulletin also for activities scheduled for this week and next Sunday. Next Sunday, August 22nd, I want to remind you that there will be a congregational business meeting directly following the worship service in the morning. And we encourage everyone to attend. Also, there will be directly following this service choir practice. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 22, verses 22, 23, and 25. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, all ye seed of Jacob. Glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 70, Holy, Holy, Holy. Let us continue our worship now with hymn number 291, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Oh,
Will you please stand now as we sing hymn number 295, He Leadeth Me.
Together as a congregation. Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence and the preciousness of Jesus, our Lord. His virtue of being God's Son have redeemed us and paid for our sins. And therefore, we enjoy now the presence of God in our own heart. We are grateful, Father. We are grateful. Lord, as a church, body, we pray for those, our people in Florida. There has been a terrible hurricane and damaged a great section of the state of Florida. And many are without home. And many life has been taken. And Father, we don't know why you allow this. But one thing we know, that we can pray that those who remain may find relief and comfort, that you are a living God who really cares. We thank you for our president and for his tour in the area and his quick relief to the state of financial health. We love America, Father, and when something happened to any state, happened to us also. Father, we pray for our president, that he be in thy care. And we pray for the president to be a man or a woman who be strong in the things of God. Father, during the election, a lot of things happen, but doesn't bother me at all. What really bothers me is that America is considering the question of marriage. Would a man marry another man? Would a woman marry another woman? Oh God, protect our president and bless the minds of our congressmen and senators, that they quickly may put a clarification to the Constitution. It is unbelievable, Father, that we have to clarify how marriage is all about. And the reason is because the people do not know that you are the creator of marriage. There was a time when a man was alone and he was incomplete. Then the Bible says that you created for him a helpmate, a companion, actually. And that companion was not another man, was a woman. And that is from the very beginning. And Lord, our Constitution said that we are a nation under God. And when we are under God, we must follow God's law. Bless the senators and bless the congressmen. that they may come to senses and realize what is right before you. We thank you, Father, for the missionaries that we have enlisted in our church, Fred and Carol Lewis in Siberia, Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Benal Madena, Spain, David and Denise Rhodes in Papua, New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Alvaldaño in Guatemala, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a place of refuge in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association reaching young people in San Jose, Daniel and Miriam Lacey, and Daniel is in Colorado today. Bless him, protect him, give him strength. And then, Father, we pray for Martha Poretti as she is going to be here in 1 week, and we thank you for her work on these people who need help, these people who are there because of drugs. And it's amazing that a private institution allowed Martha to go, and I saw those people, Father, on April, with the Bibles that we bought in their hand. Thank you, Father, because thy word is a living word and reach the hearts of people. We pray for Mrs. Forrest, now in bed with cancer. Lord, we receive a call from one of our listeners over the internet, and pray, request prayer for his mother, Willie Bell. Godspeed for a quick recovery. She's in Texas, and we pray for her and for our friend, Godspeed. Lord, we have guests from San Diego who also listen to our service, and we pray for the Clark family, that you bless them and protect them and give them joy as they now are not listening to a CD or a tape in the internet, but they are here in presence with us. We love the people who listen across America, in Baltimore, New Jersey, New York, and Philadelphia. Father, thank you for the large audience. And thank you for those who are listening in California through KKMC. And we pray that the Word of God may reach the heart and touch their heart. And Father, I thank you for those who are listening and are sending offerings so that we can keep on in the broadcasting of the gospel. Thank you for their hearts and their love for Bethel Baptist Church. Lord, I thank you for your people because they support the ministry here. We do not have a summer slump that we lack money. Your people are very generous. They are mature in the Lord, and you have blessed them with work, and they share from their life to us. Lord, keep me straight on the gospel. Give me a good mind to explain your word with all the love of God and the discipline of a mighty God. And when all is done, we're going to say, thank you, Father, for those who give, and thank you for the offering that you caused the people to give. And above all, thank you that you give us a place to preach and teach and love people in God's name. In Jesus we pray, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Ruth. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 176. We will be reading Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 23. Please stand now for the reading of God's word, Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 23, the entire chapter. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back from with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto them one of thy handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was given, when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth, and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin to us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they may meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for rescuing us from condemnation and judgment and adopting us into your family. We thank you for sending our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only one who has the power to redeem us from the curse of the law. We thank you for his tremendous sacrifice, bearing our sins in his body and suffering the penalty in our place. We pray for strength and vigilance that we may keep his commandments. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Guide him, Father, as he comes to deliver the message from the book of Ruth. Give us spiritual ears that we may comprehend what is taught from your word, and we pray for those listening also on the radio and internet who are unaware that they need a Redeemer, that they would believe the gospel, Father, and be hearers and doers of the word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated?
If you keep your Bible open in the book of Ruth, we continue in our study of this book, now chapter by chapter. Just to refresh your memory, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, this cries for us that Naomi had fallen into six crises as her husband Elimelech leaves God's land, Cana, and moves into the worldly land of Moab looking for human resources because Cana fall into disgrace. Chapter 1, verse 6 to 22, the end of the chapter, describes Naomi's experience as she witnessed with her own eye and hear with her own ears the irrevocable commitment of Ruth on behalf of her, on behalf of her God, and so she makes the move to return to Cana. I think she was moved by these Moabite women who found God. I'm sure that Naomi talked to her about it. And God doesn't give us the details and how the things going on. But one thing with her in chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, that these women, Ruth, a Moabitess, a descendant of Lot, she makes a strong commitment and a revocable commitment to God. Now we come to chapter 2. We see Naomi and Ruth at Cana, and the great question they are facing with. How do we follow the Lord's guidance now? They are there in Cana. They have nothing. Maybe a little shack where to sleep. And they had no food, no work, no welfare, nothing. How do we follow the Lord's guidance now? I'm sure that Ruth perhaps said to Naomi, and now what? What is the will of God for our lives? How do we start all over again? Have you been in a situation where you lost everything? I was listening to the devastating hurricane in Tampa area in Florida. And one man, 57 years old, fireman, lost everything flat on the floor. And he asked the President of the United States, how do I start all over again? That's a fair question. What is your plan for us at this time in our life? Perhaps they pray and say, Lord, what is your plan now? What must we do to fulfill your plan for our life? Thank God, we don't have to speculate for an answer. Chapter 2 of the book of Ruth answered these questions. So let us follow the chapter that was read for us by our brother Polika and see how believers find God's guidance for their life. And so I'm going to divide it in steps so it's easy to understand and to see the wonders and the power of a God that will help you and me when we fall in a situation like that and we have to start all over again. You know what I thought when I finished the chapter? Took me a long time to grab it. But when I finished, I thought that Raquel and me, if the Lord allow us to live, for retirement plan, how do you start all over again, retire, if I ever retire? You know, there are a lot of applications for us today. Okay, number one, chapter 2, verse 1. God brings back memories to Naomi's mind. God brings back memories to Naomi's mind. Let me read it. I'm reading from the King James, and some words will be different. I change it. And Naomi had a kinsman, a relative of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Why Naomi did not thought of him when she was in the Moabite territory, I don't know. But one thing I know, that now suddenly, out of the blue, Boaz came into the picture in Naomi's mind. Now notice, he was a relative of Naomi via her husband, and he was a very well done man. He was a man that he was financially responsible, which qualifies him to help in this occasion. I thought that here is the great lesson. God, as a chess player, makes moves in our life and in your life, and those moves you never know. What is God's next move in your life? You don't even know. But God does. As a master chess player, he makes moves in our life. The sovereign power of God was moving the mind of Naomi, in order to fulfill his promise made to Abraham centuries ago, that out of the seed of Abraham will be a savior into the world. And when everything looks chaos by the book of Judges, you read the book of Judges, and you know the nation of Israel was in chaos. They had no definition or standards or anything. When everything was lost, God makes a move. Unexpected move, insignificant move by some people, but if you read Matthew 1, glorious move. Naomi and Ruth were totally unaware of what God was doing. I want you to know that. Naomi and Ruth were totally unaware of what God was doing. The only thing at this point in verse 1 that we know is this. Then Naomi said, hey, rings the bell. You know something? My husband Elimelech has a man, Boaz is his name. They don't know where they live. They do not have a telephone book to look on it. They don't have a phone to pick up and say, operator, will you give me Boaz's phone number? They are in a place desolate. But we have a man here that can help us. Point number 2, verse 2 and 3. Ruth demonstrated courageous initiative in following God's plan. Ruth demonstrated courageous initiative in following God's plan. Now remember, Ruth is a foreigner. And that's a no how the mechanism of Israel works. Only she hears it. Only she hears it from Naomi. She doesn't know. But she makes a courageous move. Look in verse 2. Ruth's initiative was based upon what she knew about God's word. And Ruth said, verse 2, the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. She did not say Boaz because they don't know what Boaz fields is. She knows that there is a law that she can go and apply. Will you put one hand here in Ruth and move your Bible to the book of Leviticus, page 78, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 and 10. I'm going to remind you again of the law of welfare established in Israel by God. Was not a government welfare, was a private citizen welfare. I'm reading Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9, page 78. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleaning of thy harvest. Don't be so detailed in collecting. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of that vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the visitors. I am the Lord your God. You, whatever I give you, whatever you got, God, and leave the others, leave things for the others. There's no God, a great God. Ruth's initiative was based when she said, I go and glean. It's not that she was out of place. She was in place. She was in God's place. She said, I'm going to do and follow God's law. God has a welfare program, and I'm going to do it. It was approved by God, approved by the people, so she was doing right. Verse 3, Ruth's determination was in seeing that she did what God said. Look at verse 3. And she went. She had an idea. She saw that her idea was God's idea, approved by God. She saw that what she thought to do was approved in God's plan, and so she did. Sometimes we think, well, this is what God said, and we stay there, we never do a move, don't we? You're a lost sinner. You do not know God. The Bible said, if thou believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And so, yeah, it's interesting. And you're still there. You got to make the move, fellow. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. 56 miles square of territory, and she happened to be in that corner where Boaz was there. Now, if you don't see the hand of God here, I don't know what hand you're going to see. Ruth is blessed, and she doesn't know it. She doesn't know it. She said, well, here's a field. Maybe it was close where she was living. Here's a field. Well, I'm going to do the work here. She doesn't know. The God, the great master chess player, is moving the things around and is pushing this Moabitess girl of dark skin into a blonde, blue-eyed territory. Now, look at the difficulty. These are all Jewish people. And here comes this Arabian girl to follow the welfare program of God. She is blessed beyond. So she went out and began to glean, verse 3 said, in the field behind the harvesters. And it turned out she found herself working in the field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. That will be a natural translation. Now, what's the lesson? You know it. You know it because you use it all the time, the verse I'm going to use in the Bible. He put one hand in Ruth and turn to Romans 8, verse 28 in the New Testament, page 666. What a number. Page 666, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And as soon as I read the text, you will know it. Now remember the steps before we enjoy Romans 8, 28. She heard from Naomi that there is a relative. She heard from Naomi that the law of the land said there is a private welfare. There is, I remember, is in the land. God established that a long time ago from our father Abraham. And the law says that these people will reap, and then they have to leave whatever falls from their hands for the poor, and we are the poor. And Ruth said, well, let me go, and she went. And Romans 8, 28 said this, and we know that all things, that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God works for our good, even though we don't see it, no? When I was in seminary, Raquel had to work hard in the bank, the late hours, to support the family, because on when you go for a doctor's degree and so on, you have to put your head in the library day and night, 14 hours, 15 hours a day in the seminary, especially if you specialize in languages. Never knew it that God wanted to use me 29 years in radio. If you told me in the seminary, on my first day of seminary, I remember Dr. Balshah said, what do you want to do in the seminary? I said, I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to finish, get my doctorate degree, and put in a school in every city of South America. He said, that's a good idea. And God fulfilled in 29 years that good idea in my life, without me stepping into the area via radio. You never know what God's going to do with you. When you do his plan, you never know what God's going to do with you. All right? As we follow God's plan for our life, we are blessed. We are not lucky. Some people will say of Ruth, oh, what a lucky girl. She have a choice of 100 fields, and she just happened to be in the right field. What a lucky girl. No, she was not lucky. She was blessed. Isn't that great? All right. Point number 3. Verse 4 to 16, Ruth experiences the grace of God in her life affairs. Ruth experiences the grace of God in her life affairs. Let's look on. Verse 4, it happened that Boaz came to check how the work is doing. Boaz was not even in the work. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Boaz was there. Look at that. Amazing. Verse 5, it happened that Boaz noticed her first. She doesn't know who Boaz is. She doesn't know how he looks like it. Look at verse 5. Then said Boaz unto his servants, who was set over the reapers, to the guy who was in charge, whose damsel is this? Who's this girl? Well, she's his darkest skin, dark hair. Spotted right away. He said, who's that girl? It's not just get your skin, really. That's what God does with us, don't we? Who's that girl? Boaz is asking the foreman of his harvesters, who is the young woman who is there? Who is the young woman who is there? Amazing. Verse 8, it happened that Boaz took the initiative to invite her to stay. Look at verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from here, but abide here close to my maidens. Don't go any place. Boaz spoke her. Boaz had the initiative to talk to her. What a God we have. You are getting the picture. Beautiful. Verse 9, it happened that Boaz not only took the initiative to give some instructions to her, but to protect her. In verse 9, Boaz is protecting her. Look at verse 9. Let thine eye be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? You know, always they are boys, you know, looking for girls. So he said, and have not told this man not to touch thee? And when thou art thirsty, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Don't go to the well. You just go to the bottles over there of water who are from Alhambra, right there at home, and you go over there. I always said, when God opened the door, the hinges blew away. You don't have to do anything. Verse 10, Ruth understood what was taking place. Look at verse 10. Then she fell on her face. She don't say, okay, sir, thank you. She said, something is going on. And so she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thy eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a foreigner? Whew. Have you ever asked the Lord? I one time asked my boss in his office in 1975. Well, remember, we were talking about something. And I said, why, Mr. Camping, God loves me. He said, even if you ask me that question in the open forum, I cannot answer. How can God love an Argentinian? He said, and we laughed together. But it is a remarkable thing. She knew that something's going on, and she said, man, I mean, first day out, first hour of the day, and already the glory of the might of God is upon me. Now, a foreigner, I appreciate it very much. A Native American, I don't know if they appreciate the glory of God as we foreigners do. There's a great lesson here, and it's put one hand in Ruth and go to the book of John in chapter 1 and in verse 48, page 622. The Gospel of John in chapter 1 and in verse 48. That's when God, remember, Philip was a great evangelist, and he met Jesus in John 1. And then he went around and got Peter, and then he got Nathanael excited. And here is the moment where Nathanael is coming to Jesus, a godly man. John 1, verse 48, page 622. And Nathanael is asking Jesus, how do you know me? Because Jesus called him by name. Nathanael asked. And Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. And Jesus was in another town. And he saw him. He said, I saw you when you were under the fig tree before even Philip had you in his mind. I saw you. My brother and my sister, God saw us before we ever dreamed of God. Before we ever dream of God, God saw us. Not only that, if you move your Bible to Philippians 1 and verse 6, I don't have the pages, but if you move your Bible to the right, you pass the Gospels and you get Romans and Corinthians and Ephesians and Philippians. In Philippians 1, 6, not only God saw us and saved us, but he protected us. In Philippians 1, 6, the Bible says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God will carry on. When Jesus started the church, he began a good work and will carry on until the day of his coming. You know that one. When he saved you and saved me, he's not going to abandon you because you and I will sin, or you and I don't see with God eye to eye, and sometimes we have the pride to do what we want to. God is not a human who judge. God is a loving God who will discipline, though, but will love us to the end. Wow! Ruth was blessed, and we are blessed. You have come to know the Lord because he called you, and he brought you in, and he protects you so you cannot get out of his kingdom. Some people believe what is called in theology, falling from grace. You can, because God brought you in. Now, if you went into the kingdom, you can get out of the kingdom. But the fact that you do not came into the kingdom, God brought you into the kingdom. Unless God takes you out, then you cannot get out. You are in God's hand. We are in God's hand. There is one thing more to see. Number 4, chapter 2. Now let's go to Ruth, chapter 2, verse 17 to 23. Here is Ruth. Now remember the picture. When the Hebrew language, I studied Hebrew language in the seminary because it's the most dramatic, spectacular language of the world. It's pictures. The Arab too, the Arabic language is pictures. They like drama. And you can see, you read the Old Testament, it's like a living the drama. I tell people, don't buy magazines. Just get a book of the Bible, read it, and visualize it. Here is Ruth. That's in chapter 2, verse 1. What do we do now? And mama said, I remember. There is a man. There's a man? Well, I go to the field to work. She happened to be in the field of that man. And then she doesn't know it. But the man knows this. He said, who is this? And then established a talk with her. Ruth, can you imagine the emotions of this young girl in her heart to see the... She doesn't know what's going on. And we sometimes don't know what's going on. But God is putting things together in our life. And we can believe it. So number 4, Ruth go through an unbelievable state of affairs. She and her mother-in-law are taken care by a man named Rockefeller. It's not just a man in town. It's the biggest, the largest corporation of grain in the area. Here's the man. It was not the farmer who told her to stay. It was the owner who told her to stay. Do you see it? We are not saved by a second agent, by a pastor, or by a church, or by anything. We are saved by the owner of salvation, God. Whew. Let me go through this. This is fantastic. Verse 17. Ruth was provided, like anyone else, a standard bushel. Look at in verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned. And it was about a bushel of barley. Now, the man who gleaned in the field, he was, if you read Leviticus, each worker has to glean one bushel of barley a day. But she is a poor girl. She is in a welfare program. And God is providing for her with equality, like anybody else. She can't believe it. She gleaned the things just to put it together, and she get a bushel of barley and said, she maybe thought, wait until Naomi see this. Verse 18, Ruth shared God's provision with her mother-in-law. Look at verse 18. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Ruth said, well, this is my part, this is your part. Not only God provide a little, will provide for me and for you. It's, when God provides, he's not short, you know. God doesn't have poor people. But you have to work, though. God doesn't have God poor people, but you have to work, though. And you have to work hard. And you have to work unexpecting anything. Just work in such a way that people will say, boy, where this man was or where this woman was, that is an important employee of my company. Verse 19, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, was in awe of what happened to her. You know, Naomi maybe pray, oh, poor Ruth, she's over there, some of these men, there are some Latin guys over there, will touch her, we do something, you know. That's what people tell me. Oh, you are Latin, you're a lover. I don't know why they had that idea, but that's what they say. And they, you know, in the land, there was a very disturbance, and it's not safe for the women to be alone walking in the land. And Naomi may be praying, so what happened? And now all of this. Look at verse 19. Her mother-in-law asked her, where did you glean today? Where you been? Where did you work? And then she doesn't know, and she said, blessed be the man who took notice of you. She maybe, the Bible doesn't say it, but I can see that Ruth maybe jumped and said, I wasn't bored. She said, blessed be the man who noticed you. Verse 23. Ruth holds on to one person's fields. She don't go shopping in another field. So look at verse 23. So she kept close by the maidens of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest, on the wheat harvest, and dwell with her mother-in-law. She is not shopping to another man to protect her. She holds to one man only. You see it? She doesn't go, oh, well, let me try this or let me try the other. Like some people are looking for God and they try different religion, they said. I have news for you. There is only one person that can take your life just as it is and change it forever that you never notice. Turn your Bible to the book of Acts in chapter 4. And in verse 10, 11, and 12. Acts is in the New Testament after the book of John. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. In chapter 4, and in verse 10, and 11 and 12, we don't shop with the gospel in any other place. Once the man, the man has found us, we don't go to anybody else. Look at what the Bible says. Peter is speaking. And Peter is talking to the Jewish people and said, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. He just healed a man. Verse 11, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which have become the chief cornerstone. This is it. And then the classic verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You got it? Once you find Jesus in the Bible, don't shop any place else. It is not in Muhammad, it is not in Buddha, it is not in a man, even Gabriel Otero, it is not. It is in Jesus. Once you find Jesus, that's it. You don't shop around. You don't trust anybody else. You go to Jesus, then you will be protected. Then you will be taken care. And the day you pass away, the angels of heaven will take your soul into the presence of God. And when the end of the world comes, then there will be a resurrection and there will be a transformation and your body will look good and you will be extremely good looking like a Latin. I tell you, it will be great. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. What's the conclusion? Pastor, how do I proceed in my life? What's my next step in my life? I have to start all over again, like Ruth. What do I do with this project? How do I know that I want to be in God's hand? I want to do what God said. What do I start, Pastor? Questions like that all the time. Here's the answer. Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. You want to get married? And you're seeking for a boy or for a girl? Well, that's good. But I tell you something. You first seek God. And prayer. When Raquel and I met, I was always a tall man. Raquel always was short. Raquel doesn't like tall people, I guess, at that time. So I told her my intention to marry her. She said, oh, no, you're too tall. So I went to see her mother. So you have to talk about me in your house day and night. Papa, papa, Gabriel, Gabriel, Gabriel. So that she get Gabriel in the head. So when I talk to her again, so we did a plan. We will not see each other for 3 months and pray. And pray. And I went to youth camps with other girls and so on. And, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to go to the youth camps of my church. I'm going to go to this and the other. And I said, we pray. And if the Lord really say yes, then I talk to your parents. That's important, guys. I know this is another generation. But it's God's generation. If you want to date somebody, you have to talk to their parents to be blessed by their parents. You never do things behind doors. And I know those who are fathers here will agree with me. And I did. We came back. She doesn't know. Vroom! Came in their home. I'm back, I said. And I still love you. And the parents were over there. And said, ah, ha, ha, ha. Doña Maria, her mother was just a champion. Sit down here. Her father said, what did he say? Don't worry, Antonio. Sit down here. I was 18 years old boy. So I could play, you know. It works. Works. We are married for 44 years. Up and downs, problems, difficulties. When I said I go to America, she followed. There is not more power in a man when a woman is behind that man. There is no greater power for a man than a woman said, okay, I follow your project. We pray. And then the God is admired, we follow. Tell your young people, be like Ruth. Put things on the table and let God work it out. If you have no God, get a Bible. My friend Leo in the back, we're trying to pass Bible as much as we can in the coffee shop. People, I think they're afraid.
We just give a Bible to a Cherokee. Is that right? Cherokee guy. Cherokee Indian. Says, don't be afraid. Get it. Get the Bible. And read it. My friend, God is in business of saving. He's going to call you. And he's going to provide for you. The matter is this. Are you resolved like Ruth to step out? You know what your step is? Just read the book. That is step out. Read the Bible. The rest will be history. Thank you, Father, that you love us so much. That you love us so much. That when we were ugly before you, you just rescued us and redeemed us and brought us into the kingdom. Thank you for the story of Ruth. Thank you for this great story that reveals to me the majestic sovereignty of God and the wonders of your kingdom. Bless the young people that they may grow under the feet of God step by step. Bless us that we may follow. Bless this church that we may follow whatever we do. Bless the deacon board that will counsel to me if I'm wrong so that I can follow only you, Father. Oh God, I'm in love with you. Our church is in love with you. Thank you for the salvation you have given us. Amen.
This is my constant longing and prayer.
stand, please, for the benediction. And now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever.